CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
And welcome back to another CoOptiCast for Sunday, March 8th, 2009. And I'm joined tonight by Mike. Mike, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, but who are you?
I am your voice, that is your host. This is Nick Paleo.
Nice Nick, to meet you, Nick.
I figured that everybody knows me already. Everybody knows us already. We don't even need introductions. From now on, we won't even do it.
Excellent. That'll shave some time off.
Okay. So I know you've been busy gaming, and looking at your list of games played this past couple weeks, you've been churning through a good variety of titles. So what have you been playing?
Oh, geez. The correct question would be ask what haven't I been playing? But let's see. I played through to completion Killzone 2, which is pretty fun. Very flawed, but pretty fun. I'd recommend that. The immensely awesome Street Fighter 4. Played a good deal of that with another one of our staff members, Jason. Played a enormous game of Burnout Paradise. Restarted Mass Effect because some of the sequel hype has started getting me back into it, and I never actually finished it the first time around, so I want to correct that.
Yeah, it's one of those games I still need to go back and play again. I really enjoyed Mass Effect.
Yeah. I also dabbled in with the community games on Xbox. Played Groove, which is it's really cool. Have you ever played Rez?
Yeah.
Okay, apply that to Geometry Wars.
Interesting.
Like, it's a twin stick shooter, and everything you do has it causes the beats. Like your gun is kind of an electronic zappy noise, and then the enemies when they explode are different instruments, and you can. If you really, really get into it, you can actually start killing guys in certain orders to craft your own beats. So I've enjoyed that. Johnny Platform's Biscuit Romp, which is a kind of a puzzle platformer. Takes place on a bunch of single screens. It's really fun. I had a really good time with it. I rebuilt my computer because it died shortly after Dawn of War 2 came out, and I cried many, many tears. So I got back into Dawn of War 2 and just been loving that as much as I can. Played a little bit of WoW. We got preview code for Demigod, so I've been playing that, and that's gonna be a good one. And last but not least, been playing 50 Cent Blood on the Sand.
You say that with such hesitation.
You know what? Screw it. That game is awesome and fun.
I wish we weren't such a family-friendly podcast, because we could be having a lot of fun right now throwing around some of the one-liners from that game.
The swear words and racial epithets being fired rapid succession.
Yeah, definitely. I've been playing that as well. We played some co-op of that last night, and we'll have a review of that later in the show. And I've also been playing Killzone 2. I played through that. I blew through that probably in like 3 nights. It was actually pretty short. Gorgeous, gorgeous game. I couldn't get past the analog controls. The analog aiming in it is just busted. It really is. It was a constant fight with the analog sticks, and it's partially the DualShock 3 to blame, but it's also partially the game developers. And I know I haven't got a chance to check it out, but they did just release a patch yesterday or Friday for it, and supposedly they tweaked the analog dead zone, whatever that means.
So it means they had to play with the fact that the PS3 doesn't register movement until you've moved quite a bit of the analog stick.
I good game. I don't think it lived up to its hype, but I don't think it could have lived up to its hype anyway.
No, it's a solid AAA shooter.
I hear the online modes of it are really good, and I didn't even dabble in that yet. So
yeah,
I also played Street Fighter 4, which I am possibly the world's worst Street Fighter player. I was having trouble beating it on very easy.
So, I don't know what happened. Jump kick.
Yeah,
jump kick, then sweep. Pretend you're playing Mortal Kombat 2.
Yeah, I think I overcomplicate things, and I try and do too many things in that. I just need to get back to punches and kicks and stuff with a special move every now and then.
Yeah.
We had our staff co-op night last night, so we all dabbled in Burnout Paradise. And quick side there, my wife's, or I should say our baby shower was today, and so a lot of the guys were hanging out at my place, and we were watching my 5-year-old nephew play Burnout Paradise, and it was really cool to watch him learn the game on the fly. Like, so first thing, he figured out that going the opposite way in traffic was kind of like beneficial, right? Because he could see like the flame thing would grow. Then he figured out actually how to boost, and then he figured out that those two things were tied together.
Nice.
And then he figured out about like how cool it is to crash in it and watching the things explode. So then he was like trying to find the most interesting ways he could to like crash. So it was pretty neat that you know, just watching him learn the game on the fly like that, and how he picked it up, and you know, nobody told him anything of how to play. We didn't tell him what was go or anything. He just figured it out. So like I said, he's not even 5 actually. He'll be 5 in about a month. So that was cool. Also been playing Retro Game Challenge on the Nintendo DS.
Oh, such great a great game. Such a great game.
Yeah, if you grew up in the 90s and you played, you know, the NES and Super NES and Genesis with friends, you know, and you guys were beating levels together and setting high scores, and you know, in your friend's living room or whatever. I mean, this game is just, it's great. It's you and this other little kid, and you're playing these classic mock-up games, so not real games. And it's just great that the one-liners that they throw out and stuff like that. So that's good. Also played a ton of Halo Wars, which I will have a review up tomorrow. So by the time you listen to this, it will be yesterday. Hope you're confused now. and so I've really enjoyed that. I think the co-op in that is some of the best co-op I've played this year. It's fresh, it's unique, and it just works. So I'm really happy with that. And then also, like I said, 50 Cent Blood in the Sand. So that's about all I've been playing. I'd like to put more time into all these. Basically, Halo Wars is what I put most time into. So let's move on to the co-op news. And our first story of the night is upcoming DLC for last year's Game of the Year, co-op Game of the Year, I should say. And that's the Left 4 Dead Survival Pack, I guess is what it's going to be called. And I think we talked about last episode, right, that it was free?
Yes.
Yeah. So this free pack should be coming out either the end of March or early April, I believe. And I think it was IGN had some details of it and got some hands-on time with the survival mode. Basically, the way it works, it's like Gears of War Horde mode, except it's a timed set scenario. You're in kind of like one place. And I believe they said that the developers haven't survived longer than 9 minutes, and the IGN folks barely made it past 3 minutes.
And I believe you're leaving out that the game mode is a 15-minute timer.
Right. Yeah.
So the developers actually can't beat their own game at this point, so that's promising. I don't know.
Yeah, they said they made it to be like a quick playthrough, a lot of successive things. I can't remember. I want to say that they said there's like 10 different maps for it, like 10 different areas on the existing maps that get used for this. And there's things you have to do, like there's health stations you'll have to work your way towards to, you know, recharge up, and ammo dumps and things like that. Like, you can't just be stagnant and stay put, or else you'll run out of ammo, you run out of health, you know, a lot faster. So it sounds like there's going to be a lot of teamwork involved to really push through it. I'm guessing it's basically like a constant horde, right?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited. Should freshen up the game a little bit for the people that have gone through the campaign numerous times.
Anything that extends the life of Left 4 Dead is welcome in my eyes.
Right. And the other thing that pack will contain is the two additional Versus maps, Dead Air and what's the other one?
Death Toll.
Death Toll doesn't have the Versus. So those two maps will now have Versus available to it. And like you said, it's free. which is cool in my book.
Very.
I think I have that much in my wallet right now, actually.
Yeah, I think even a recession gamer could afford this DLC.
Yeah. And there's actually been a couple deals in the past couple weeks on Left 4 Dead. If you haven't picked it up yet, they actually, like we talked about last podcast, Valve had marked it 50% off for the PC version. And I think it was about a week ago, I saw Amazon had the 360 version on sale for $40. So could pick it up cheap and keep an eye on it. Maybe pick it up cheap before the DLC comes out. All right, so our next story is the used game wars, as we're calling it. And this is for the recession gamer. Basically, Amazon has thrown their hat into the ring to offer game trade-ins. And this goes along with Toys R Us and Best Buy, who are all accepting game trade-ins for credit towards new purchases. Interesting thing about it, you know, the Amazon one is it's an online place doing it. And anything you trade in can go towards, you know, anything on their site. So it's not just video games or electronics. You know, if you need to get yourself some, fishing poles or books or CDs or, you know, Amazon stuff, the random stuff that makes Amazon so cool.
Then you could certainly trade in some trash and come back with some treasure, I guess.
Yeah.
And you won't have to do it at GameStop.
Yeah, though I read an article, I think it was MTV Multiplayer blog, they actually compared a bunch of trade-in values between like GameStop and Amazon, and they were pretty neck and neck what they were actually offering. So that's kind of disappointing, because I always thought GameStop doesn't give you enough for your trade-ins. You get like $20 and then they turn around and sell it for, you know, $50.
Well, and I think that's actually the problem, is not so much that you're not getting so much, it's what they're selling it for.
Right, yeah, I think, you know, I still think more people would tend to buy the used stuff if it was marked down a little better. If you buy a new release used from GameStop, it's usually $5 off. Right. That's not a discount.
That's something you could do by finding a deal somewhere on the internet.
Right. Yeah, so that's kind of disappointing. Yesterday I got an email from Gamefly, the online rental service, and they're starting a trade-in program as well. But the weird thing was, it looks like only the Wii is what they're starting with. I'll have to go back and look at the email again, but I'm pretty sure it said that they're test driving it with Wii games.
That's certainly weird.
So yeah, they plan on joining the fray, and they, you know, Gamefly's always sold games, and if you have a subscription through them, you can get pretty good deals on stuff. A lot of times, new games, the keep-it price is like $40 or $45. So you can save like $15 or $20.
Cool.
So that's another recession gamer tip. So our last story is kind of a surprise announcement from Capcom. And they exclusively announced on Xbox Live that Lost Planet 2 is in development, and that it was going to feature a unique co-op campaign, and that unique co-op campaign supports up to 4 players. So that's good news.
And there was much rejoicing.
There was much rejoicing. I really enjoyed Lost Planet. I actually, not only did I like the single player, I was one of the few people that liked the multiplayer in Lost Planet. It was a very, like, arcadey multiplayer kind of a game.
I enjoyed Lost Planet a lot, but I got frustrated by a boss a ways into it and never went back to finish it. So I think I ended up missing out.
Yeah, the biggest problem with Lost Planet was the knockdown. You would, like, explosions would knock you down, and it would take a good, like, 2 or 3 seconds for your character to get back up, and people were frustrated by that. So hopefully, you know, the new game kind of gets away with that, goes away with that, I should say. I know they said the new one is going to be a little more tactical and a little more squad-based, which is why it's going to be co-op. So hopefully they don't lose that arcadey feel, but if they make, you know, the goals of the maps or the design of the maps to force players to do some kind of tactical maneuvers and things like that, that could be pretty cool. I would definitely enjoy that. Capcom is... We had posted an interview with Chris Kramer, who is head of Capcom PR and community relations. And one of the questions we asked him was about co-op, and he basically said that, you know, you're going to see a strong going of co-op titles from Capcom in the future. And it was like, I think the day after we posted that,
That they announced this.
And I just saw that actually this week, Resident Evil 5 comes out on Friday. And they said that at the launch party in LA, I think it was LA, they're going to announce another new game. They didn't have any other details, what system or anything like that, but they were going to announce a new game at the Resident Evil 5 launch.
Mega Man Legends 3, please.
I actually think what it's going to be is it's going to be the Resident Evil for the Wii, a new version, a new one of that.
Yeah, but we already know about that. So,
did they officially announce what it was?
I believe it was a Resident Evil 2 remake in the same vein as Resident Evil for the GameCube. I don't know if that's officially been announced, but that's what I've heard.
Interesting. Okay, so I could be wrong. So hopefully.
So could I. Just remember that.
Hopefully it's something different, but we'll see. So that's about it for our news. I don't know if you had anything else that piqued your interest or anything, Mike.
I have nothing.
Okay, so we're gonna take a short little break, and we'll be back with our 5-minute game review of 50 Cent Blood in the Sand. On the sand, in it, on it, wherever it is.
All over the sand. Okay, and we're back from that delicious commercial or musical interlude or whatever we decided to insert there. I'm sure Nick has something great to put in the place of the silence.
I'll try to live up to expectations.
Well, this week we're gonna do a 5-minute game review of 50 Cent Blood All Over the Damn Place. And Nick, I would definitely say that this is probably the surprise game of the year for me. Would you agree?
Yeah, I definitely agree.
If you've been following the coverage on our site, as you all should, because if you weren't, why would you be listening to this lovely podcast? You would know that it's pretty much a mashup of Gears of War 2, The Club, a little bit of Stranglehold maybe, and the man himself, 50 Cent. You roll through the Middle East, you know, searching for a diamond-encrusted skull, which was given to you in lieu of a $10 million payment for a so-called benefit concert you were playing.
Benefit Fitty.
Exactly. And unfortunately, the skull gets stolen from you very early in the game, and Fitty's not one to let people take things from him. So he goes on a crusade of sorts. That might not be the best word to use, considering where this takes place, but damn it, that's what he does. He stomps all over the Middle East, shooting bad guys left and right, and being double-crossed by everybody that looks at him funny. And it's mindless, delicious fun. If you can ignore the fact that it's a 50 Cent game, I think pretty much anybody, especially in co-op, can have a great time playing this. The shooting mechanics are pretty tight, surprisingly tight, actually. Cover mechanics work pretty well. There haven't been very many situations where I've been put in a place where I can't fire or something like that. And Nick will tell you that his favorite part is the high score, and I think that's mine too, because it is the goal, in addition to beating each level, is to roll through and get the highest score you can. And every time you shoot a bad guy, you get 1,000 points. And if you got a headshot, you get a 10% bonus to that. And if you were out of cover, you get another 10%. Or if you shot a grenade in his hand and it exploded and took 3 other guys out with him, you get bonuses for all that too. And then the game rates you on your score and gives you medals in return for it. And it's just hilarious, the dialogue, the story itself, and the fact that it's just steeped in self-awareness just really makes it an amazing experience. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, so the whole game is co-op from the get-go. In fact, when you start a single-player game, when you start a game, it asks you, do you want it to be a private game? Do you want it to be a public Xbox Live game, a friends-only game? Like, the thing is co-op through the whole thing.
Definitely built to showcase the co-op mode, and it's a blast. Like, Nick and I were laughing our asses off all night when we were playing it.
Like, it's both unintentionally funny and intentionally funny, I think. Like, I definitely can see where they didn't take themselves seriously at parts, but the game has, like, a ton of dialogue, and there's a ton of writing in it, and it's, at times, it's really well written, but the concept of it is just so yeah. ridiculous.
And it's got some interesting voice talent, too. Like, I don't know the actor's name, but he was on The Wire, and he's on Lost, and, He voices one of the bosses. Like, this guy is a little high class for this kind of game, isn't he? And so that was pretty fun. My personal favorite part of the game, speaking of dialogue, is the fact that you can, when you're playing a co-op, the host selects who his member at G-Unit is, who he tags along. And I played with a couple different ones in my single player and the multiplayer last night, and everybody has dialogue that's directed at Fitty, but Fitty has no dialogue that's directed at G-Unit. They in fact might as well just not be there. It's kind of funny that every time you notice it, like they'll be like, "Over here, Fitty," and there's something where you need to climb up and come on, you know, bust open that crate and get the bling inside. And they'll say all kinds of stuff, and Fitty doesn't even acknowledge their presence. I guess that's what it means to be the leader of G-Unit.
Yeah, I mean, so from the get-go, like, what you're supposed to do is you get your skull stolen, your diamond skull, and so you have to go and find this guy, track him down to buy weapons, because, you know, Fitty only travels with his Gat. He doesn't have the Uzis or his M16s or anything to take down these terrorists. And so there's a whole mechanic in the game where you can actually, you find these payphones and you call this guy and you can buy weapons, as well as these counter kills, which is like these melee hand-to-hand combat kills you can do to increase your multipliers and stuff like that. So the faster you kill guys, like, the higher your multiplier goes, and the more the more you mix it up with the counter kills and headshots and stuff like that, your score gets higher.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the targets you can shoot and the posters to find. They're like little bonuses in the levels to get your score up. The whole time you're playing, there's 50 Cent music in the background. Some of the songs are kind of
weak. You can turn it off, though.
Yeah, you can turn it off, but I think there's 19 songs in the game. Some of them, I don't know, I really kind of enjoyed some of them. They fit with the setting. I mean, if I had my own game, I'd have me singing through the whole game as well. I'd also wear a hat that had my name on it.
Yeah, he wears all of his own merchandise. It's pretty awesome.
So, yeah. 50 Cent Blood on the Sand, I definitely give it 2 thumbs up. Definitely worth playing with a buddy.
Definitely.
Don't overlook it just because of what it is, you know, what it is, if you don't agree with the material or the person or whatever, because you'll have fun.
Oh, it also has the best secret achievement of all time, which I'm going to spoil because it's so damn funny. you recall that the first game in the 50 Cent line was called Bulletproof, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, there's an achievement called Not Bulletproof, and you get it for dying on easy mode. It cracked me up.
That's good.
I didn't earn it. You can check my gamer tag. Seriously.
You know you're going to get it, though.
Oh, I'll get it. Actually, it's a 0-point achievement, which makes it even better.
Nice.
So, since we have wrapped up 50 Cent for now, we'd like to go on to the formerly the reader question, and now I think this is whatever the hell we feel like pulling out of the forum segment. And this week's little forum post that we pulled comes from our old friend Just a Bald Guy, who says, I watched a gem of a flick last night and wanted to share it with you all. In thinking about it, I decided it'd be good if we pooled our collective experiences with offbeat movies. Sure, most of us, all of us, hopefully, have seen The Terminators, Matrices, Aliens, Predators, and all of the sci-fi classics. But there has to be extra stuff out there that only a few of us have seen. Sci-fi or fantasy flicks that gamers would be able to appreciate and ignore bad effects, gaping plot holes, and horrible acting. Stop! Don't open that door! So we can use this thread to share those flicks and make recommendations. And he goes on to describe a movie called Class of 1999, which is a Malcolm McDowell vehicle where he's the principal of a school that decides to take it back from gangs and all kinds of fun stuff. And it looks delicious, and you can check it out on the forums. But I thought this looked like a fun one to kind of, you know, throw out a few suggestions of either fun or crappy movies that we enjoy. So, Nick, I'll let you go first.
All right, so I had a kind of a hard time coming up with some of these because I know, like, there's been movies I've seen and been like, okay, this was good mindless entertainment. But the first one, I always liked the Masters of the Universe movie. I'm ashamed to say Dolph Lundgren as He-Man.
He will break you.
It's cheesy, but, you know, I grew up as a He-Man fan. I loved the cartoon. I had the toys and stuff. And it, watching it as a kid, and even now, like, every time it's on, I'll leave it on. And if I'm not paying attention, I'll watch it. I like it. So that's a good one. There's another 80s movie called The Last Starfighter. And this is really video game oriented because basically this kid gets the high score in this game called, I think the game was called actually something Starfighter.
I don't remember. And it's been so long since I've seen it.
Yeah, and because he gets his high score, the people that like put it on planet Earth are actually like need his skills to pilot a starfighter and save them from this like alien attack or whatever. And so he gets whisked away into space, and it's cheesy and 80s, and the effects are horrible, but it's
awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. And then another one, and this is honestly one of my favorite movies of all time. And a lot of people have some hate for it for some reason, but I love The Fifth Element.
I love it too, just, don't worry.
Yeah, it's just a good sci-fi movie. It has a little bit of everything, and definitely check that out if you haven't seen that. I think it's probably a late 90s movie with Bruce Willis and Mila Jovovich and Gary Oldman. So, yeah.
Well, first off, it's mid-90s.
Okay.
But do you want to know the best reason to enjoy that movie? At least as far as I'm concerned.
Boobies?
Well, I guess you could argue that. and I guess you could, you know, argue multi-pass for the comedy element. But the art direction in that movie was done by French artist Mobius, who a few of you may know as being one of the creators of heavy metal comics back in the day. So being a fan of the absurdist art style and the hard sci-fi stories that they tell in that magazine, it really helped me enjoy Fifth Element a lot more. As far as movies I enjoy that are cheesy and horrible, well, my friends and I, and Jason on our staff is part of this group. Every month or so, we gather together and we take all of the sci-fi original movies that aired in the past month, and we pick which ones look the best, and by best we mean worst, and we watch them for comedy. And we really enjoy those. And one that we always go back to because it has one selling point that I can make it a recommendation for anyone. It's called George and the Dragon, which stars Michael Clark Duncan, Val Kilmer, who has a cameo, James Purefoy, who was one of who you may remember as being in the first Resident Evil movie, and it's just kind of a weird little fairy tale about Saint George, but it has a skateboarding monk in it, so it's awesome. Other incredibly bad movies that we enjoy, Future War, which is a vehicle for Daniel Bernhardt, who you don't know, but he played an agent in the second Matrix movie. And it's horrible and laughable. It's about dinosaurs that go back and it's cyborgs from the future capture dinosaurs from the past to enslave humans from the present to do manual labor on a starship. And one of the humans escapes to Earth and the cyborgs and the dinosaurs chase him, which is, it's just fantastic. And cheesy and horrible. And if you do watch it, watch out for the box fighting. It's pretty great. Then there's my favorite in the past couple of years of things I've seen is Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen. It's,
that movie's ridiculous.
That's basically the most ridiculous action movie ever, but it's even more so than something like Crank. It is just I think it is a video game. I think the guys who made that movie maybe got a little drunk, maybe a little high, played Max Payne or something, listened to some Motorhead, said, you know what, man? You know what would make an awesome movie? This! And then they just gave him two guns and a carrot and let him wreak havoc.
Yeah, I mean, they set the tone from the first scene of the movie where he delivers a baby while in a firefight and cuts the umbilical cord
by shooting it with a gun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That sets the whole movie right there.
And I'll wrap mine up by just recommending in general Mystery Science Theater 3000. It's my favorite show of all time, and it's exposed me to so much horrible sci-fi that is laughable that I think anybody with a reasonable amount of intellect that can understand some of the more obscure jokes that they throw out there will really enjoy. So check out Space Mutiny and Time Chasers for my favorite two episodes.
Cool. So if you guys have any questions or anything, feel free to send us an email at tips@cooptimist.com. We can talk about it on the next podcast or an upcoming podcast. Or, post some stuff in our forums. We have a really good active community who can answer your questions. And if it's a good enough question, maybe we'll talk about it on the podcast as well. So next up, we want to talk real quick about some upcoming releases over the next 2 weeks. There's only a couple, but there is a big one in there, which we talked about earlier. And that's Resident Evil 5 that comes out Friday the 13th, which is this coming Friday. And I'm actually, it looks like I'm planning to go to a midnight launch event for that. Locally, they're doing a pretty big thing. It's called Blood on the Carpet. And they actually hired a production, this Best Buy hired a production company to put on this launch event. So I'm pretty anxious to check it out. Never been to like a professional one like that.
Take pics.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I'm bringing my camera and take pics and some video and stuff. So we'll have some of that up on the site. Also coming out this week is Codename Panzers Cold War. This is a PC real-time strategy game. It's set in an alternate World War II kind of a thing. The co-op in it is just, there's I think about half a dozen or so select scenarios where you can go through with a buddy to complete that. Also this week is Mad World for the Wii. This is that black and white ultra-violent game that you've probably seen for the Wii. In the co-op in that, there's no co-op through the story, but there's like kind of co-op challenges and little mini games and stuff like that to play with a friend. And then finally, coming out the 20th of March is the PC version of Tom Clancy's Hawks that actually came out this past week on the 360 and PS3. It has four-player co-op. All the other ones we talked about are just two-player co-op. So I think that's about it for the news, the community stuff, and the reviews, and all that good stuff. But the site, cooptimist.com, which we are the official podcast of, has posted quite a few reviews in the past 2 weeks. So we had the review of House of the Dead Overkill for the Wii, Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection on the 360 and PS3. Lots of great co-op classics in that pack. Dawn of War 2 on the PC. Mike and I reviewed that on the last podcast, and the written review went up on the site as well. And by the time you listen to this, Halo Wars should be up on the site, the review of that. I talked a little bit about that earlier. And we also had a review of Nerf and Strike for the Wii, which is a on-rail shooter that uses a cool little Nerf attachment thing for the Wiimote.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So check that out. We also had a few interviews up. Like I think we mentioned the Resident Evil 5 Capcom interview. Check that out. We also had a Demigod interview and a 50 Cent interview, which had the best question of all time asked in it. So
and answered. Highly recommend.
And answered, yeah. Yes. Answered honestly. I thought that was pretty good. So check out those features you may have missed these past 2 weeks. Hopefully you have subscribed to this podcast through iTunes. And if you have, make sure you leave some feedback. We only have 4 ratings, damn it.
And, tell and us we're Nick good and I or are not two or... of them, so please yeah. do not force our hand.
Yeah, I don't want to be that lame, but I might have to be soon. So yeah, leave us some feedback. We really want to know how we're doing. You know, feel free to send us an email too. Let us know how we can make this show better or worse if you really want us to be worse. You can also follow us on Twitter. And that's at twitter.com/cooptimus, all one word. And we post the site news and stuff goes through there. We also actually, this past week, we gave out a code for Xbox Live subscription through there. So I think I'm going to start doing a couple giveaways through Twitter for those people that so graciously have followed us.
It works for Major Nelson. It'll work for us. Trust me.
I hope so. So I think that's about it for, what are we, March 8th, 2009?
Yeah.
We are the CoopTheCast, the official podcast of Cooptimus.com. And thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next time.
Go, 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 shorty. It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a Bacardi like it's your birthday. And you know we don't give a fuck, cause that's your birthday. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to fill a buzz, I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, get into getting rough. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to fill a buzz, I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, get into getting rough. When I pull up out front, you see the Benz on dub. When I roll 20 deep, it's always drama in the club. Now that I roll with Dre, everybody show me love. When you sell like Eminem, you get plenty of groupie love. Look, homie, ain't nothing changed. Roll down, G's up. I see exhibit in the cutting, man. Roll them up. Roll you watch how I move and mistake before I play up here. Been hit with a few, but I don't walk with a limp. In the hood, in the latest, saying 50, you hot. They like me, I want them to love me like they love pop. But holla in New York, for sure, to tell you I'm loco. And the plan is to put the rap game in the choke. Oh, I'm fully focused, man. My money on my mind. Got a meal out the deal and I'm still in the grind. Now shorty says she feeling my style, she feeling my flow. A girl from Woody, they buy and they ready to go. Find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to feel the buzz, I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, get into getting rough. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to feel the buzz, I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, get into getting rough. My flow, my show brought me the dough. That bought me all my fancy things. My crib, my cars, my clothes, my jewels. Look, homie, I done came up and I ain't changing. You should love it way more than you hate it. Oh, you mad? I thought that you'd be happy I made it. I'm that cat by the bar, toasting to the good life. Moved out the hood, now you tryna pull me back, guys. My joint get the bumping in the club, it's on. I'm with my eyes to chicks, if she smash, she gone. Hit the roof on fire, man, just let it burn up. The talking about money, homie, I ain't concerned. I'ma tell you what banks told me, cause go ahead, switch the style up. And if they hate, then let them hate, then watch the money pile up. Or we can go upside the head with a bottle of bub. Come on, they know where we be. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to feel the buzz, I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, get into getting rough. You can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to feel the buzz, I'm into having sex, I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug, get into getting rough.
Don't try to act like you don't know where we be, neither. We in the club on time, so pop on. Shady aftermath.